Hey guys, you're listening to the Anti-Marketing Podcast, and today I have Jonathan Melvin as my co-host.
Hello.
I didn't even say co-host correctly. I didn't.
Co-host.
Co-host. and we are here with Jessica Ryan of Her Height Collective.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So for those that don't know, and I know you gave Jonathan like a very beautiful elevator speech right before we started, that's usually the first thing I ask people to do. So give us the general, here's what Her Height Collective is.
Okay. Well, Her Height Collective is an all-women's hiking group that I created based out of the Hampton Roads, but we go to all throughout Virginia, and different women meet us from different cities, kind of up in the Blue Ridge Mountains. We hike together. It's a great way to just get out of the city and be in nature together, meet other women that want to do the same activities. And I created Her Height Collective out of a need to find other like-minded women to hike with me.
So the true story is I have been trying to go on one of these hikes for the last, 2 years and have not been able to. And
is there a height requirement?
Stop.
I'm only 5'4".
So. I mean, I'm 5'1". I just, whenever it happens, it doesn't align with when I can go. And I have been desperate to, because you know how much I love, you both know, how much I love to be outside. And so I think what you have created is something really special and cool. Because there are not a lot of opportunities like that. You know, finding friends that want to go out in the woods with you is not the easiest thing to do. Because, as I'm sure you know, most people are like, oh, the bugs. I don't like the bugs either. Full disclosure, I turn into a ninja. But, you know, there's so much more to being in nature than just going to be in the woods. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of why you started Her Height Collective. So tell us a little bit more about your why.
Yeah, it's really empowering to be on nature with other women. I created Her Height Collective as a need for myself. My brother passed away in 2011, and I found his love for nature after the fact. And I went to Big Sky, Montana 2 years later in 2013, and one of his favorite places. And vowed on that mountain peak after a week of really starting to heal in nature that I was going to make it a part of my life, and any women that I could meet and introduce nature to and have that impact on them, even just a little bit, was going to be my purpose with the group.
Tell me how you've grown it, because I know when I call people and say, hey, let's go camp, or let's go spend 10 hours in nature, I am usually met with, and also just go for a drink or, you know, so yeah. I mean, tell me how you've taken this concept and how it's turned into this community.
Yeah. I got my confidence up in hiking and camping a lot with my husband when we were dating at the time. And after that, I realized I wanted to have more opportunities to do it more. And again, I wanted to make a group for other women. So I really just started on social media, Instagram, created their Her Height Collective group, and just made an announcement on my regular account. And it wasn't really hard to find women that were like, oh, we've been looking for this too. And created an email list, and really it just grows itself, to be honest.
I mean, that's
awesome.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the healing part, because I think that's the part that's where your heart is,
mm-hmm.
in it. I mean, I think being in nature is awesome, but there is this elemental property that all of a sudden you're outside and anything you're worried about is kind of gone or clarified.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought that, which is why I like it so much. But tell me about that and sort of the experiences that you see. So you can talk about your own, or if you want to, anybody else's, but how you've seen it just shape people.
Yeah, I think it can be gone and clarified, like you said, but also for me personally, if I'm hiking up a really steep mountain and all the switchbacks, and it's like, oh my gosh, are we ever going to get to the summit? And it's getting harder and harder. I kind of relate it back to other obstacles in my life. I'm getting through this, I can get through that. Or it just kind of empowers you and strengthens you mentally as you're getting through something physical.
Hmm.
To relate back to mental aspects of your life. So I think that's very healing. I think any time, like, waterfalls and just the sounds of nature are very healing and can take you away from social media, Wi-Fi, the day-to-day busyness of your life and put you somewhere new where you have to, like, use your other senses. And then the fact, too, that my brother loved it and I've been able, lucky enough, to go to places that he's gone to. I, like, kind of spiritually, if we want to get woo-woo, feel him there and stuff and in experiences I've had.
I think it's really cool that you've, like, taken this clearly, like, traumatic and sad experience with the loss of your brother and turned it into something extraordinarily positive for yourself and other people.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Because I think a lot of people would look at sort of what you've gone through and just been like, nope. Like, that either they're either going to shut it away and not deal with it or fall apart. Mm-hmm. And you have managed to, from the outside anyway, take that and turn it into this thing where other women can come and find their own peace with whatever it is. I think that's, I hope you know that that is very a rare quality that most wouldn't have the wherewithal.
Yeah, thank you.
To do.
That means a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. One thing that you mentioned about, like, the switchbacks and climbing a mountain and doing all those things, how often do you guys do these? Like, what's, like, the reset button? Like, is there a magical, like, haven't been in, I need to reset every 3 weeks? Like, how often do you do them?
With the group, I'm trying to do quarterly, so 4 times a year, mm-hmm. to the mountains. There's more opportunities to do ones closer here, like First Landing State Park and things like that. But definitely mountains is 4 times a year, and then I go again with my husband. And so for me personally, I would go every weekend if I could. But it's probably 8 times a year, 6 to 8.
That's nice.
What does a normal trip look like? Like, how many people go? What is a normal day like? Is there such a thing as a normal trip?
Yeah. Before COVID, we had up to 20, 25 women on a day hike. And it is a full daytime commitment. We leave early in the morning and carpool, drive up there, which anywhere around here, it's about at least 3 hours. Hike all afternoon, pack our lunches for the summit, or if we're hiking down to waterfall, we stop at the waterfall and eat. And then after the hike, we drive back. Sometimes we'll stop at a brewery, or if it's too late in the day, if we've spent more time hiking, we'll just kind of head back home.
Have I told you about Spy Rock before? Have you read that story about Spy Rock for me? Have you been there?
It sounds familiar. Is it with Crabtree Falls?
It's near Crabtree.
Yeah.
You can
combine
it. You
camped over there, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I would camp at Crabtree Falls, but have mm-hmm. you can combine it. It's a crazy hike if you combine it. I've never done that. My husband and our friends have, but, like, I never have. That's too much. It's too much. But one of the things that I think makes hiking really special, 4 years ago, I tried to hike Spy Rock, which is a mile and a half, by the way. Like, don't let it make you, it's not.
But what's the incline, though?
1,200 feet.
Yeah.
So it's significant enough, but not. Now, where I am now, it's not. But I literally went back every year until I could do it in under an hour, because it took me, like, an hour and a half the first, maybe 2 hours. There's video. It's, like, bad. And it becomes, like, this personal mission. Mm-hmm. I can do this better. Mm. I can achieve this better. I know what I need to do in my regular life because I've done this thing. You need to go to Spy Rock. You should add that to your life. I haven't been in 2 years, so I'm like, maybe it's time for me to try it again and see if I can get my time under.
Yeah.
But what, you've taken all these things that you've learned with Her Hike Collective, and now you're writing a memoir. Oh my gosh, I can't speak today. tell us about that.
Well, I've already written it. It's now with an editor. I'm self-publishing, and it was really over the course of 10 years of just journaling all my different hikes, healing from losing my brother and all those different experiences. And then I really got serious about it 2 years ago of really putting it all together in a organized story.
What can people expect from it?
Well, I hope they can expect to heal anything that they've been needing to heal, to find an outlet for themselves that they can do this too if they want. Inspiration, and it talks, you know, about the really tragic parts of what happened in my life, but my hope and desire is that it always will have a hint of hope through the entire thing. So they know that it's going to take them somewhere and it's going to lead them to hope and healing.
Yeah. When I think that part, you know, you've always been very forthright and open about that part of your life. And it's always resonated very well with me for similar reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've told you that. I don't know that the podcast is the place to say it. But I lost my mother in a very similar fashion.
I knew you lost your mother, but wasn't sure.
Same way.
Okay.
So it is, I've always been very intrigued by how you took this very sad thing and made it so positive. Whereas, like, I am the person who unintentionally celebrates the anniversary of her death, and like not celebrates, like that's the wrong word, but I'm like, all right, I'm having a misty day, nobody talked to me, like I'm not around. And you have found such peace and positivity from that very, very, very negative experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see that memoir being such a benefit to so many people like me who would look at that and be like, who knows you and would look at it and be like, I don't understand how she's been so positive.
Well, you'll see in it too. It's not, you know, I wasn't perfect all the time. There's no way you can grieve perfectly or how someone handles it. And it changes throughout the years. You know, I got married and then had my son and then I was a mother and I was like, oh my gosh, I have all these new fears now because of what happened to my brother and like how I'm going to be a mother and all these things. So there's different levels of grief. You probably know this too, going through different stages of life that kind of like come out of nowhere. And you're like, oh, I got to heal from that still.
Like, I didn't even realize that was still a thing. And now it's a new thing that pops up.
Yeah. So it's not done perfectly, but I hope that it shows anyone, no matter who they are, no matter what grief they're going through, can get through it.
Yeah, and I think that's not something that everyone always wants to tell you, that like, here's how you get through grief. Here are seven quick steps. And all of a sudden you're better.
Yeah.
And that's not real life.
No.
At all. So I really like that you've sort of acknowledged and said, however many, 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
10 years later, it's still a process.
Yes.
And it's definitely not perfect, and there's little things that come up, and little, you know, when you miss someone, there's little things that come up, but you find really positive ways to pivot and remember them and not make it a woe is me story, because it could easily be that. And you've done a very beautiful job of that.
Thank you.
What are you the most excited about next? So we get off, you know, like when for the book, do you know?
The timeline right now is January 22.
Hmm.
All right, that's soon.
Yeah.
That's like very soon.
Yeah, so I'm self-publishing, but I'm doing it with a company out of Richmond. So they're doing their first edits, and then after that, the process is going to pick up a lot quicker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is it scary?
Yeah, very scary. I feel a calling to do this, and I feel like it needs to be out there. So I'm leaning into that as much as possible, and I think if I wake up at the age of 80 and haven't done it, that would be worse.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to do it and see what happens. But the fear is still there because it is personal. Not everyone, but anyone who wants to read it is going to learn a lot about me.
Yeah.
I imagine it's very vulnerable.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's the part that I think you know, we were talking about one day maybe Jonathan writes a book. If you're friends with Jonathan on Facebook, you get to read his little mini novels, and they're great. And I've told him that, and I'm going to blow him up and tell him that again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know? but it's a very vulnerable thing. Whenever you make a Facebook post like that, and when you're talking about having, like, this document that the world can read and then know you, but also feel a calling that you can help people, it's got to be such a back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah, that... With this being, you know, like the anti-marketing podcast, like I think that's kind of my question a little bit is some of the people we've talked to have said like, hey, I had this burden that I had to go do something with. And like you said, like if I didn't do something with it, like I don't want to live with the regret. And then the other, I guess, question I would have was it more on that end of the spectrum or was it more on that, man, I wish I had had this sooner and I wish I would have had this book and I wish I would have had this group to discover this stuff. Like, what was your thoughts at the beginning of it with the collective when you're saying like, hey, I'm going to do this thing? Was it like, what were you in that moment? Like, what were you feeling and thinking?
In the moment of creating it, I just really needed to create a space for an outlet for me. Mm-hmm. And yes, I wanted to help other women and bring them along, but it was an opportunity for myself to have the outlet more often. So that was created of just like a pure need for it, and in hopes that other women would need it too. And the book, I forgot your more of your question there.
Like, so the day that you said like, I'm going to write a book, was it that you had a burden, like I have to get this out of me, or was there some sense of I'm writing the book I wish I had?
Like, I wish I had this at the beginning when I lost my brother. Like, I wish I had had this.
Yes to both of those. Okay. And I would go back and forth throughout the years of that. I journaled off and on. Even my brother battled an addiction to Adderall. And he was overprescribed, and then he took more on top of the prescription he was prescribed. And so we battled that with him. And just seeing him deteriorate for 2 years. So I journaled a lot during that. And but going through grief and learning other people's stories and then healing as well, I know now that I could have, I think I could have helped him better. I'm more empathetic and understanding. And I think I would know now how to approach him better. And then, so the need of the book is to hopefully help others that might be in those shoes now, kind of learn beforehand. Also, just going back to when I was journaling, I had to like physically get like the thoughts and writing ideas out of me. Like, talking about like the calling to write this book, it would, if I didn't write for a few weeks, it would make me feel physically, like, ill. But I just needed to get this out. And once I typed it, I felt so much better. And I remember always thinking after I finally typed the words out, like, oh, yeah, this is what you should be doing. This is what needs you right now.
That's really cool. And it's funny because I feel very similarly when I actually take the time to write. I'm like a very good writer. You guys like wouldn't know because I don't ever do it. But I feel very similarly in that, and I think there is such a healing component to it. And so it's super interesting to me that you acknowledge that this would have been so beneficial to me both before and after you lost your brother. Like, that's because it really is, like, the grief starts before you lose them.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It's a real story. It does. And so, if that existed, you probably, you might have done something differently, or you might have just handled it differently within yourself, but you would have known what to expect, or you could have had some kind of roadmap.
Yeah.
Of what that grief is going to look like. And when it's here, you just... You don't.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the problem in those scenarios is you're so in the moment of the trauma that you're going through that, like, unless there's help readily available, it doesn't occur to you to go get tools or help or assistance because you're dealing with the moment of it. And I think it's amazing what you're doing with the collective is that you're essentially creating community. And so it's creating these relationships where if somebody is in trauma or about to be in trauma, maybe they have a relationship now, or if nothing else, they know you and they can mm-hmm. say like, oh my gosh, this is going on. And it's just like one life preserver out in the stormy sea where it's like, oh, maybe I could grab onto that. But then the other extreme of the book is maybe they never meet you guys, but they have this book that they could grab off Amazon or wherever. And that's the lifeline that they get that wasn't out there otherwise. Because I think a lot of the problem with, I mean, both of you are even saying right now, like I'm replaying, like what would I have done? Is that like you don't have perspective in the moment. And if you had some other voices in your life that could help and that were credible, kind of to your point, Misty, like sometimes you're just at peace with oh, there was nothing I could do, but I did everything right. Instead of having the unknown of like, did I do everything right? That's very admirable what you're doing.
Yeah, it's big. Yeah. It's big because like it's I have a 24-year-old sister who would be so pissed that I'm talking about her right now. But like when my mom died, she was 17. Mm-hmm. And so like it was big to me, it was bigger to her. And something like that would have change your life potentially if she had taken a moment to listen to somebody who had gone through a similar experience. And so I think what you are doing, if it changes one person's perspective, was worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth the time, and it was worth the effort, and it was worth the having seen it, having lived it in my own way.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really, really special. It's weird that I'm excited to read it because I feel like I'm so excited to read your book about grief and loss and healing from it. But 7 years later, I am excited to read it.
Yeah. You're in a place now.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And even I think I would have been excited to read it then to like know what it looks like, to know what to prepare for, to know what to whatever. So I think I'm really happy for you, which is such a strange thing to say in such like a somber conversation, that you've taken your pain and turned it into like a sense of purpose.
Thank you. Yeah, you said like the one person. That's what I'm really here for, is like one by one. I'm not here to, you know, it'd be great, be Amazon bestseller, but
yeah,
like the one by one, each person that I come across and it can get their hands on is more of what I'm seeking out to do.
That's awesome. I'm excited for you. Well, thank you for, is there anything else you want to say? Anything else you're excited to say?
We have a hike, hopefully, and well, we do have one in August. I'm not sure when this is airing.
Tell me when, and I'll see if I can come. Oh, my God.
It's the end of August. I have, and then we'll have one again in October, but we don't have the actual date for that. So August 29th is the next hike.
Mm, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Here for that. Let's see if I can make that happen. I'm really excited for everything that you're doing. And I'm going to get on one of the hikes one day. I swear it.
You
will
have fun. You need to.
I will have fun. I'll be the slowest one in the back. I'll be making jokes. I'll be like, it's fine. I'm way back here. Don't worry.
Well, it's funny. I'm the like leader, technically, but I am most often in the back because I bring my camera and I like stop and take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what I do when I go on any hike. I bring my camera. So yeah. I'm the same. Also in the back because I'm slow. Let's be very abundantly clear.
My camera's my excuse that I'm slow.
Like, it's fine. It's fine. I'm just taking pictures. Don't worry about it. Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. And I can't wait to see all the crazy, awesome things you do.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Bye, guys.